Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri. And I'm looking out over a beautiful lake, and it's a blessing to live in the Ozarks, but it's a blessing to live in this day and this hour and have part in the end time move of God and to sense such a call to prayer, and that God's got people raised up to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And all these early moves that we've been talking about, Brenda, they were preceded by prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you have one case there right here in Missouri. Where was it?
Thayer, Missouri.
And so can you read the account of that?
Well, just kind of a backup. I God has like an assignment kind of placed me to kind of to different story of the area. Like Mom said, the Lord called her to this area. And she really didn't particularly want to go here. But the reason why is we have learned it has been prayed out. And there, and where we're at in Branson, and even, you know, Branson is not very far from northwest Arkansas. In fact, one way to go to Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, we call it the Arkansas Way. And you go through Arkansas, and then you turn back and go south or east. You go back east. So anyway, you know, like all these things have been prayed, and the same way with the area. And so Tony and I, when we first got married, we went on a trip because we heard of,
now this hasn't been that many years ago.
Well, it was 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
It was, September, 2010. And I had been reading out of this book, the history, The Sparkling Fountain, which is the history of the spiritual Azusa, how Azusa came here. And Azusa came here in 1907.
And eventually then this became the headquarters. Springfield became the headquarters of the Assemblies of God.
Yes. And so anyway, there was a woman, and her name was Rachel Harper, and her last name was Sizlow. And her sister, she went, Rachel went to, her and her husband, they went to L.A., Azusa, and they had their hands laid on by Brother Seymour's wife, Lucy. And they said that she was just a simple woman. She was a former slave. But she just went out in the power of speaking in other tongues. And then she came and she brought it to Missouri.
Rachel Sizlow.
Yeah, she brought it to Missouri to this family. The family actually had written this book about this was called The Sparkling Fountain. In fact, Rachel's the one who had the dream. She had a vision of this area, and she saw a fountain, and in the middle of the fountain was a Bible. And she said that from this area would flow the Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Oh, praise God, hallelujah. As it has for years, and it's still continuing.
Yeah. And so Rachel had another sister who lived in Thayer, Missouri, and her name was Florence, and her married name was Tigolo or something like that, Italian, and her husband's name was Charlie. And on their tombstone, they had, "We will meet you at the marriage supper of the Lamb." And the story behind that was the Thayer, Missouri revival.
A big revival that's well known.
And Tony, you might want to share how we saw that by chance, that tombstone, the story of that, or?
Well, you had read about it in the book, and so we set out for Thayer, Missouri to find the tombstone in the cemetery.
That said, the tombstone that said, "We will meet you at the marriage supper of the Lamb." Bless the Lord. So how did that get on that tombstone, Brenda?
Well, the Thayer, Missouri revival was prayed. Mother,
was it prayed in?
It was prayed in by a brother named Harry Boley.
Well, read about him.
And Harry Boley was an intercessor. And this is, I'll just start with this chapter. And it says, "It is difficult for me to describe on paper the spiritual power of this wonderful man of God."
Spiritual power of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. "He was very responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and his burning desire was to point souls to the manifested love of God at Calvary. He had a glorious ministry in the Spirit. I'm sure that there are many people that could tell you much more about Brother Boley than I. Brother Flower wrote of Brother Boley. He had a deep spiritual life, and he had a great influence upon many young people. who inspired to follow his example in their consecration to God in his service. Harry Bowley had first heard of the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the fall of 1906, when he was just a young man working in a print shop in Illinois. I believe that Charles Parham and one of his evangelistic bands went to Zion City, Illinois, and it was in these meetings, according to Brother Brumback, that Harry Bowley, F.F. Bosworth, Fray Vogler, and Edith Banger received the Holy Spirit. Less than a year later, Brother Seymour would write, quote, "People here received the baptism in their pews while the service was going on, and sometimes scores of them received it. It was the sweetest thing you want to see. This is another Azusa." And so he came from that, and Brother Bowley, that was his background. After receiving the Holy Spirit, Harry's soul was on fire to preach the word and let others know about the great love of God. It was while he visited on his way to Kansas City, in St. Louis, in 1908 or 9, that he visited Mother Barnes in St. Louis and learned of Joe Duke and the call to Thayer, Missouri. According to a Pentecostal Evangel article by Brother Bowley, this is what he wrote. "We spent a month in strong supplication before God about this revival in Thayer,
Father,
which lasted sometimes all night, and the revival was born in our hearts." Mm-mm. Supernatural things happened those days. And then he says this, "Brethren, we have missed God's will somewhere. He wants to do the same thing today. Why shouldn't we expect miracles and wonders as great and glorious today? And even more glorious, for isn't this the end time? 35 and 40 years ago, we heard from God and he said, Jesus is coming soon. Prepare to meet him." That was a message which the Spirit gave the people when they received the baptism. See, he's talking about the Thayer, Missouri revival. Friends, we don't realize how near we must be to this time of his coming. "One day we went to the tent and stayed there all day, not leaving until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning." Now, the Thayer revival began in 1909.
Azusa Street's still going on.
Yes, we didn't even leave for meals at noon. People all over the place were receiving the baptism. Others were getting saved. The sick were being healed and demons were being cast out. One person would get saved. He would go back and tell the news and someone else would come running. We had no need of advertising. God took care of that. The place was crowded with folks who wanted to know the Lord. So this is Brother Bowley. And I mean,
they prayed that revival in.
They prayed that revival in. And so What Tony and I, we learned about a man at that revival, and they called him one of their most famous converts in his name from that revival. And his name was John Davis. And I'll just read about John Davis, and it has to do with the tombstone.
Okay.
So the tombstone says, "We will meet our loved ones at the marriage supper of the Lamb." And so anyway, one of the most remarkable converts to come out of the great Thayer, Missouri tent meeting was a fiddler and dance caller from Arkansas. He had been a drunkard, and the craving was so great that he had to sleep with a jug of whiskey beside him at night. He had heard the commotion and came to Mother Barnes' tent meeting to see the show. He was gloriously and thoroughly saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Back in those days, when you got the Holy Ghost, it put the go in your feet, and John Davis became a preacher. He just started preaching and relied on the Holy Spirit to show him what to say. Uncle Charlie loved him. Remember, he's married to Florence, as did many others, and he would travel many miles just to hear John Davis preach. Joe Duke recognized the stamp of God upon Brother Davis's ministry and bought him a tent to hold meetings in. John Davis held tent meetings all over Arkansas. The picture we've included of Joe Duke in this book was a postcard mailed to John Davis back in 1912, and the message Joe Duke sent was to encourage Brother Davis and to let him know that he was praying for him. Once, when Uncle Charlie was very sick, he sent for John Davis, and he came and prayed. Uncle Charlie was gloriously healed and never forgot the great faith of this precious evangelist. John Davis was holding a Brush Harbor meeting down in Yaleville, Arkansas, and we have a few people from Yaleville at our prayer mountain. And the power of God began to fall. By the way, a brush arbor was made of stringing wires back and forth between tree limbs. Then leaf-filled branches would be placed over the wires to form a covering to keep out the sun and rain. He was just a plain old Arkansaser with very little religious training. He would go out in the woods and pray all night before he preached. Mm. And then he ministered in the power of the Spirit.
Prayer, well, power.
Yes, mm. yes. People began to get saved, healed, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Soon opposition began, and one day a group of denominational preachers announced that they were going to come in and debate, take over the meeting and debate John Davis and show him all the Pentecostal error he was preaching. Brother Davis didn't know what to do. He wasn't a debater. He had very little education and no formal Bible training. Brother Brumback tells about this incident in his book. Davis was distressed, for though a firm preacher and of the message, he did not consider himself able to defend against these sharpshooters. He went to prayer, lying all night before the rough altar. Just a few years before, he had spent many nights laying dead drunk in the road before a saloon. The next night, even before the meeting was formally opened, the Lord baptized 20 in the Spirit, and the slain of the Lord were many. People were praying all over the place, and God had intervened and taken control, and the fire was falling from heaven. While Brother Davis was busy ministering at the altar, several of the denominational preachers showed up dressed in long-tailed black coats and sat on some of the benches near the back, waiting for the opportune time to interrupt and start the debate. The power of God fell with great demonstration and grew in intensity as the evening progressed. You can't debate with God. When Brother Davis looked up from the altar, he saw the last of the seven preachers slinking away in the bushes outside the brush harbor. Hallelujah. As with Jehoshaphat's battle against the invading armies of Moab, you shall not need to fight in this battle, for the debate was the Lord's, and the meetings were not even interrupted. Praise God. John Davis was filled with the joy and the glory of the Lord, and he proclaimed it wherever he went. One day, he and an old friend went down the street and turned into a saloon that Brother Davis had frequently before he was redeemed. Brother Davis went after him, and as he stepped on the sidewalk in front of the saloon, the power of God came on him, and he fell prostrate. He had a marvelous vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the glories that are yet to be. When he was lost, he had spent many nights dead drunk at that same spot. But oh, the glorious transformation that had taken place in his life, and he often told of the vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Uncle Charlie said if he ever died, he wanted John Davis to preach his funeral. And so he did. Many years later, John Davis preached his funeral, and that was in 1921.
And so, Brenda, was it Davis's tomb, or was it whose tomb?
It was Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie put on his tomb, "We'll see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb." Praise the Lord. So what we're talking about here is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we could identify as a latter rain outpouring. The former rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit was in Acts chapter 2. The latter rain outpouring happened at the beginning of the 20th century. The Bible prophesies in Joel and James of a time of a former and latter rain outpouring coming together, when we'll see everything they had in both outpourings. That's what we're going to be praying about at our upcoming meeting, October 24th through 28th. At the Hilton Convention Center in Branson, Missouri. Please come and join us. Call us at 1-800-972-3447.